Hi, welcome to Lutheran Church of the Cross on this Sunday, August 30th, as we continue to worship during this time of COVID. And for today, we'll be focusing on more of the Gospel of Matthew and Jesus' conversation with Peter and his disciples about what it means to be faithful and to follow Jesus. After worship, or not after worship, but at 11 o'clock today, if you would like, you're invited to join us in the prayer Zoom room for communion. It's at 11 o'clock. There's a link below on the webpage where you can see that. And then at 11:15, we transition to narthex time, which is just kind of catching up with each other, a chance to talk and see the folks, other members of the congregation. At 11:30 or so, then we transition again, and those that want to stay in the Zoom room, we just have some more conversation about the sermon, about the gospel text, and kind of some follow-up for that. Next Sunday is Pride Sunday, and so we're going to, instead of generate our own worship time, we're going to join the live streaming that is of the Pride service that's being done. And so when you come to the website next week, there should be a link right there, and it'll be live streamed. Now, very important, it's live streamed. And so that means it will start at 10 o'clock. If you come in later than that, you'll miss it. And so be sure to go ahead and arrange, if you can, arrange your schedule so you can be part of that Pride service at 10 o'clock and participate in the live streaming. After that's done, they say it'll be about 11:30 or so. We'll have our narthex time and then maybe some follow-up conversation. So next Sunday, things are a little bit different. The Sunday after that, we'll be back to the pre-recorded live. Just a note, if you read the crossbeams, there's more of a write-up, but we are beginning to transition to live streaming and starting to look like what it might look like to have a few folks gather in the worship space. So we are in process on that. Again, I invite you to take a look at the crossbeams, and which will be coming out this week. To learn more about that. Also a reminder, there is a kids worship video. Just look for that link below or go to that portion of the website. And yeah, you can see more of me playing guitar and singing and also hear see a puppet story of today's gospel. With that, let us begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome to worship on Sunday, August 30th. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of the incurable wound of his suffering, yet finds in God's words the delight of his heart. When Peter doesn't grasp Jesus' words about suffering, Jesus tells the disciples they will find their lives in losing them. Such sacrificial love is described by Paul when he urges us to associate with the lowly and not repay evil with evil. In worship, we gather as a community that we might offer ourselves for the sake of our suffering world.
My soul is thirsting for you.
Thank you. for the unity of all. For this holy house, for all who worship and pray, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. That we may live out your impassioned response to the hungry and the that we may live out truth and justice and grace. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. For peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes, for friends and family, for life and for love, for our work and our play, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. For your spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the word, that you nourish our souls with your body and blood, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example, point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah 15:15-21. You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but not overcome you. For I am with you and rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked, and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. The word of the Lord.
A setting of Psalm 138 by the composer David Haas. Thank you.
The second lesson is from Romans 12, 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This ends the reading.
Our gospel today continues our readings from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And it's a continuation of the conversation that the gospel text was last week. So I'm going to go ahead and tell that again and then continue on to today's text. So Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began showing his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must not happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me." You are focused, you have your mindset not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here now who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. A little self-disclosure. I have a real competitive streak in me. I've been playing sports my whole life and board games and almost anything. It's just like it seems like it's in my nature to try to win. And if those of you that have been at the pancake breakfast and kind of seen that come out during the pancake races, you know what I'm talking about. It's just like something comes over me and I forget everything else, but it's like, I've got to win. I've got to come in first. I've got to be the best. I've got to, there's all kinds of versions. I need to impress people. I need to do it better than anybody else. I guess the religious word is that I've got to have that glory. And so when I ponder this, this is the first thing that comes to mind. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. When that competitive spirit gets a hold of me, I am not focused on divine things. It's almost like, don't get in my way, I'm going to win. Fortunately, I'm not 5 or 7 or even 10 anymore. And so I manage to keep it under control, and I can recognize when it's rearing its ugly head, and I kind of disable it. But it's just such a powerful statement to talk in terms of, in essence, the challenge of being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus. In today's text, Peter I mean, I want to do that first part because it's so clear. He's the one that professes Jesus Christ as Lord, clearest. He was clear as a bell. You might say he was focused on divine things. The divine things being that the presence of God, the Son of God, was right there in front of him. He had overturned his life and followed and committed himself to that. He seemed so clear. Here was Peter focused on divine things. And then the next minute, when Jesus said, okay, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die and be raised. It's almost like, oh no, instead of seeing the Son of God before him, what he saw was someone whom he followed and cared about and who he wanted to protect. It's like, no, this can't happen to you. And I would say that's a very human response. And it's not bad or wrong. Certainly, if we're not focused on human things, like, you know, where we're going to eat, where we're going to live, how we're going to work, how we're going to maintain our health, what we're going to do with our, I mean, those are all kind of very human things. The catch-all phrase is, for human things, might be survival. What do we need to do in order to make sure that we're able to keep on living and keep on going? And you can almost see Peter going, oh no, your survival, and hence the survival of what we have going here, is threatened. And it's like we've got to do what we can to keep that from happening. And what Jesus, his response is, Peter, you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. What a strong rebuke, but just really a naming of the challenge it is to focus on divine things and to be in touch with what God is up to in the moment, or what God wants to have happen in the moment, instead of just reverting back to taking care of ourselves. It's interesting, asking the question, what if Jesus was focused on human things instead of divine things? What if he looked around and said, wow, I have 12 followers, they're committed to me, we're doing amazing things, we're doing all these wonderful things. If I go and die, first of all, it won't be pleasant, it'll be horrible. And you know, it'd be so much easier just to kind of hang out in Galilee and keep doing what we're doing. And so then what would never have happened, of course, is the revelation of God's love for us and the assurance that death is not the end. I mean, and that's what God was up to. And Jesus, one of the reasons why we acknowledge him as the Son of God, was so clear and focused on that. And it's the kind of the rest of this conversation really is starting to unpack this. He says, get behind me, Satan. Peter, get behind me, because you're a stumbling block to me. But then he begins to unpack this. And the first thing he says is, if you want anyone who wants to be my followers, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. When we hear deny, it's like we don't like the word deny. We don't want to be denied anything. But it really is kind of, in essence, saying you need to get over kind of your egoistic, your, I guess, egotistical focus and focus just on yourself. And kind of, you have to kind of let go of that and look and inquire into and choose to be a part of what God is doing. And that kind of denial is hard. And then he says, so you have to deny yourself, and then take up your cross and follow me. And it seems like my whole life, when people have talked about taking up their cross, it's like, oh, this is the burden I must bear. It's just like it's a focus on the suffering and kind of, oh, what I've got to sacrifice, etc. And as I was pondering this passage, really, Jesus is pointing to the cross, because in this conversation, the cross really is a symbol of Jesus' choice to focus on God's things, on the divine things, on what God is doing. And so picking up, certainly, The cross that sometimes we must take up involves suffering and even pain, and they're the martyrs of the faith. It includes death for their faith. But I'd like to invite you to think about the cross as that thing that symbolizes our focus on divine things. It's almost like a symbol of the whole, the things that we do that express our faith. And so for Jesus, taking up his cross meant to heading straight into what he knew was going to be a maelstrom of anger and rejection and pain and suffering and even death. Over and over, I mean, in our lives, I think we're constantly, I think our default is just to be focused on human things, getting our next cup of coffee, making it to work, keeping the cars running, taking the next test, showing up for the next appointment, making the next phone call, earning it, all that kind of stuff. That's the default. I mean, unless we're focused on something else, that's what we're focused on. And Jesus is saying, you've got to deny that. You've got to recognize that that wants to control you. And then take up something that has you be involved with God's larger purpose. To do things that make a difference for others. And so it can, I was trying to think, what are some examples of taking up your cross? Showing that you're intentionally doing something to be part of what of God's larger purpose. And it struck me that these days, putting on a mask is kind of taking up a cross. I'm not going to leave it on because I think it really muffles my speaking. But it's like, in putting on a mask, there's this sense of you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself the freedom of speaking without the mask. You have to deny yourself that right. You have to not have anybody tell you what to do. It can be a cross that you bear by focusing on what God is up to, and that's providing life and well-being for all. And so taking your cross might be putting on a mask. It might look like generosity, denying yourself some of the extra money you have, denying yourself some of the luxury, even some of the security or wealth that you have that you want to hang on to, something that you're really comfortable with. But for the sake of helping others, of loving others, a needy person or a neighbor, being generous and kind of focus on the divine things of what that provides for the community, what that provides for others and brings about life. It may look like service. Denying yourself, you know, the sitting and watching TV or something else where you give up some of your time, or choose to use your time and your energies specifically just to help someone else and to allow the divine, that be part of that divine work that Jesus modeled for us. I mean, his whole life was about bringing life to others and being that kind of servant. It may look like forgiveness, the denying of that juicy stuff we get about being the victim of how somebody's been wrong to us. And focusing on the divine act of forgiveness. Boy, if there's a divine act, it is forgiveness. We call it grace. Choosing to show grace to someone else, choosing to forgive them and let go of the wrong that they've done to you for the sake of the well-being of the community and to be part of the forgiving, gracious spirit that we are called to live. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, I'd say, you know, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to be a Christian, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Again, the cross is these holy acts, holy, H-O-L-Y, these holy divine acts that we do that come out of our focus and setting our mind on divine things. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen.
ELW 655, Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Son of God, Eternal Savior, Source of life and truth.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you to Richard Bott, moderator of the United Church of Canada, for this prayer for back to school, which we have modified here for our purpose. Hi, God. It's not too long before our children head back to school, alongside other children, teens, and young adults in so many communities. And to be honest, we're worried. Not just for our children, but for every single student, from the youngest to the eldest, and for every single teacher and support person, every one of the support staff and the administrators, the people we trust to not only help our children learn, but to learn in an environment where they are safe, cared about, and respected, where their whole person is taken into account as they live and learn and grow. But we're worried. We're worried about their health in the face of COVID-19. We're worried about the resources we've set aside, not just to ensure their learning, but their learning in safety. And it's not just the ones who will participate in learning at the school building. We're worried about the ones who will be learning from home, the ones who will be sitting in front of their screens, connecting with the lessons, the teachers, and their peers. And we're worried about the students who won't have what they need, technologically or people-wise, to experience the schooling we understand they need. And so, we are praying. We are praying that our decision makers listen to the science, make sure the resources are there, do all they can to help the children who will be in schoolrooms and at home. We're praying for the health of our children and all those who support them. We're praying that we all work together in equity and in hope to ensure that every student has what they need to be the learner that they are. And we continue to pray for all of our healthcare workers and those researching therapies and vaccines, that we might be able to respond to COVID-19 and have the health to work on the rest of what needs to be done. We continue to pray for all who are risking their own health to keep our communities functioning, especially those who are tired, underpaid, and receive little or no recognition for their efforts. We pray for justice and joy on their behalf. Help us trust that we are doing all that we can for all of our children, and that we will do even more than we think we are able to do for every child, everywhere. For what else do the people of God pray? Gracious God, gather into your arms all for whom we pray, and teach us to trust in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Be Not Afraid, a hymn by Bob Dutherford.
A blessing for us all. As we go forth from this place, may you look backward with gratitude. May you look forward with courage. May you look upward with confidence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.